Well, thanks, Mike, first of all. And I want to give a little bit of a preface here that we didn't plan anything here. We didn't coordinate anything here. I totally wrote mine first, but I'm not. I didn't. But you're going to see a lot of similarities, which is, it was just really cool. First of all, let me pray real quick. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your steadfastness. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for just the undeserved blessings that you've given us to be here today. I pray that this testimony that I give, Father, would be honoring to you and glorifying to you. Father, I pray that this would be clear and yeah, just honoring to you, Father, most of all. I pray for my wife. She's trucking today, so yeah. Thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Yeah, if you guys don't know my my wife, she's a trucker, so she's listening to this, so well, I guess for those of you that don't know me, my name is Cody Trump. I'm a deacon here at Ridgeview. My beautiful wife, Jade, and I, we've been in this area for probably about 6 to 7 years now. I grew up about an hour and a half east of here in Merriman, Nebraska. I don't know, or south of Merriman, actually. So if you don't know where that's at, that's okay. Most people don't know where that's at. It's a pretty small town. There's only about 100 people in it. But I grew up south of there, so it's quite a ways out there. It's really a big talking point that there's a lot more people out there than cows. And if any of you have seen the Sandhills, you clearly understand that. So let me just get started here. Ever since I can remember, we went to church as a family. I grew up Catholic, so we went to Mass. And we would attend Mass most weeks. I guess you could say we were a pretty average Midwestern household. We lived on a place that was an hour one way to town, so it was hard to get in trouble out there because we were so far from town, but of course we figured out ways to do that. My older brother, Tyler, and my younger sister, Kylie, and I would sometimes find ways to make mom or dad mad and then have to deal with the consequences, you know, typical stuff, anywhere from racing horses to fighting to pestering our 4-H calves, finding ways to fashion different devices and necessary tools for ranching, of course. And you could say it was kind of the Wild West out there, just the stuff that we would come up with. I'd consider my childhood pretty normal for the most part. And then when I was about 10 years old, my younger sister, Kylie, passed away. She was probably about 6 at the time. It was a really horrible horse riding accident, and I still remember that day very vividly today. And the reason that I remember it is because I was the one to witness it, so I had to go get help. It was really, really hard for my family. We had friends and family and our entire community that came around us like crazy, and it was amazing how many people came around us. I spent many nights struggling to understand why God would allow this, struggling to understand why God would do this. And when I look back after the fact, much of what we did to cope with this was to cover up that sorrow. Much of it was to put on a smiling face and go about your day as if nothing had happened, just to get through it, to get through the day, to kind of toughen up, and just get through it. There was grief, a lot of grief, and I didn't know how to handle that grief. And so, like I said, I would cover it up. I would put a smile on and go about my day. Let's see here. Oh, I want to stop here real quick because I don't believe I was a Christian at this time in my life. Let me read two Bible verses real quick. The first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. I have all my different things, different notes here. I don't even have that one bookmarked, so give me a second here. Chapter 1, verse 4 through 6 says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." So you might be wondering why I read that, but I read that to say that God does not tell us not to grieve, and God does not tell us to ignore affliction and sorrows. In fact, in the Old Testament, they set aside time to grieve, and God set aside time for people to grieve, and I think that is really, really important. It was really, really important for me, but I didn't realize that until later. The other verse that I wanted to point out is Psalm 34:18, and that is that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. If you've ever lost a loved one, then you know the immeasurable pain and sorrow that comes with it. However, when I look back on that incident, I know that God used it to soften my heart and draw me closer to him. At the end of my... I'd like to say that after that incident, I became a Christian, and it was good from then on, but that was not the case. In high school, I was a pretty rebellious kid, and of course, just a lot of sin followed that. At the end of my high school year, God just continued to draw me closer to him, and in ways that I never realized that he was. I got to get on some bucking horses, and I loved it, and decided I wanted to college rodeo. And so in college, I went to college here. That's where I met my wife, Jade. And I met some really awesome Christian men my age that were living for the Lord. And having a relationship with the Lord and being excited to tell people about Jesus was something they did on a regular basis. And that was so new to me. This is how God used my rodeo coach, Looper, Jed, Jason, and many other men in my life to slowly soften my heart and draw me to him. Through his grace and steadfast patience, God prepared me for years to receive him. Sorry, this is awesome. It gets me so excited for what God did in my life. One of the first stories that came to my mind is when Mike asked me to do this. I promise I'm excited. is Acts 8:34 through 39. And this is, hold on, let me just read it real quick. So let me preface it by speaking a little bit about it real quick. Philip, he is a believer, and God comes to him and tells him to go to Gaza. He's in Jerusalem, tells him to go to Gaza, and he ends up meeting with a man there, a eunuch, and this is what happens when he meets this man. This man is on his way home from worshiping in Jerusalem, and he's reading Isaiah, and he has no idea what he's reading. It's kind of funny, but I'll just read this real quick. Isaiah 34, it says, "And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?' And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the roadside, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." I'll stop it there. But that's just so awesome to me. And I ended up getting baptized in a stock tank in February. I think, you know, of all the things that God used to make, you know, to reveal himself to me in the years of planning and preparation, I don't know if I'd have chosen a stock tank in February to get baptized in. But that's how he works. And hold on, I got to find my place here. As I reflected back this week, there's a common theme throughout all my life, and one of those is seeing how God has worked and is working through people in all my life to reveal himself to me. And two is my clear inability. Now, Mike talked about a few things today, and one of the things that he mentioned was yawning, and I should have mentioned this in the beginning, but when I get nervous, I tend to yawn a lot, so thanks for calling me out there, Mike. I promise it's not because I'm bored or anything. I was a little nervous this morning. So one of the things, seeing how God worked in my life and working through people in my life, and then through sin and sorrow and overall separation from God. The only times God has given me comfort is through him and being close to him and submitting my life to Christ. I believe God used the painful sorrow of loss and the weight of sin to show me my own inability and to help myself and to help save me. God used these means to save me. And these things that kind of kept going over in my mind are sorrow, sin, and salvation. And the last takes precedence in my life now over the other two. So I thought it was really awesome that Mike pointed out looking forward to the next Advent in this perfect, because there is still sorrow and there is still pain and suffering constantly, and I'm sure many of you have felt that before. So I want to read two final verses to kind of finish this up, and you're going to get a little bit of similarity here too. But the first one I want to go to is Revelation. You don't necessarily have to go there. I'll read it real quick. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." So exciting. And I say that too to encourage anybody else that has lost a loved one. Like I said in the beginning, God doesn't command us not to mourn. And I know in that time, even though I wasn't a Christian, God was so near to me in that I wouldn't trade that nearness for anything. The final one, if you were following along, is in Romans 5, verse 12 through 17. So it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespasses, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass through condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." But that's all I have. Thank you.